SBS Radio.
Edition of our story podcast, a series about inspirational and quiet achievers from across the Indigenous community. He is a survivor of the Stolen Generations, an actor, a musician, a former heroin addict. He's done time behind bars before being elevated to statesman status, earning the coveted title of Senior Victorian Australian of the Year. But he most prides himself to be acknowledged as an Aboriginal elder, often speaking out not only for his people, but also for the downtrodden. This is the life of Uncle Jack Charles. I am Bertrand Tungandame, and this is the Our Story podcast.
We're taken at 4 months, you know, under the assimilation policy in 1943. I was taken from my mum, placed in a city mission baby's home in Brunswick, and then when I was 2 years old, I was placed in the Box Hill Boys' Home and therefore to be assimilated.
Jack Charles was raised among the forgotten Australians primarily to be assimilated. It's also in this environment that he had his early rudimentary education and picked up some valuable life skills.
I realised after I'd left, I appeared to have been the only Aboriginal, registered Aboriginal kid in the home at the time of my 12 years tenancy there from the age of 2 till I was 14. That when you're 14, you left the home. You either fostered out or you had to go to a Salvation Army hostel up in Auburn, you know, and near Glenferrie there. And then you went to work and that, you know. So there was never any real problems in the Box Hill Boys' Home. There was never any real racism, as far as I can recall. And I know kids call me Blackie and all that kind of stuff, and you accepted it because you were Blackie. And you were told that Captain Cook was killed by the blackfellas, and I said, oh, well, I remember being bashed on some Australia Day celebration and that in the Box Hill Boys' Home, because Captain Cook was killed by blackfellas. It didn't happen here in Australia anyway. So anyway, I was partially educated. There was a state school in the home, SS4151. But mainly I was a school cleaner. And I was sent out into the garden to grow, you know, plant flowers and veggies and all that kind of stuff. I grew some beautiful chrysanthemums. Some of the blossoms bloomed as big as my head, and we entered in the Box Hill Horticulture Society, and that. So I became, I had a green thumb, this little black boy had a green thumb. I can grow some beautiful flowers and that. I prided myself on my chrysanthemums, I recall. And I did have favourite teachers who took me in tow. You know, I loved geography. I got by on arithmetic and geography, history. We knew it all about the British, all that, but nothing about Australia. Cook discovered Australia, and then he was killed by Aborigines and that, but they didn't say Aborigines from another country. They didn't say that. So that's why I was bashed. But in the main, I really had no problems with the populations of these kids. They were, many of them were stolen in themselves. Many of them were from families that were having difficulties, so their mothers placed them in an institution because they were in difficult dire straits themselves, couldn't raise the children. So they were called the Forgotten Australians. So I was lumped in with that crowd. I was completely comfortable, and I was totally whitewashed with the shenanigans that the Salvation Army had taken me through to be assimilated, Christianised and whitewashed. when I was released from the bondage virtually when I was fostered out to Widow Murphy and her twin Bodgy sons up in Blackburn, two suburbs away from Box Hill. But I was always querying to her and also to the Aboriginal Welfare Board and the child protection people that I believed I'm not an orphan, as you keep on telling me. I believe I've met my brother, and I believe I've met two sisters. I met my brother about a month before leaving the Box Hill Boys Home, 14, okay? And then living with Mrs. Murphy, I realised she wasn't a religious woman. So Sunday nights I used to sneak out my bedroom window to go to the Methodist service in the Blackburn Village. They had a wonderful society and that, you know, group. And even though the rapes had occurred and cruel and unusual punishments, I still felt the whitewashing had worked. You know, the Christianising had worked. I was so whitewashed at one stage that poor little me, I wanted to be the donkey carrying Jesus into Jerusalem. That's how silly, that's how whitewashed I was. But, you know, I've snapped to attention. I've woken up to myself now, you know, now believe that, yes, people, and many of our people stick with religion and etc. That's been the undoing of us decolonising ourselves and getting back to basics, getting back to our culture, that culture which is very hard to grasp once you've been colonised.
Building on basic singing lessons learned from the boys' home, Jack Charles would go on to lead a successful singing and acting career. While on the way, he taught himself new skills and embraced new challenges head-on. It's at the beginning of his singing and acting career that he also had several encounters with law enforcement.
We had Do Re Mi Fa So La Ti Do, all that kind of stuff, and I took to that like a duck took to what takes to water. I like singing. But at work, there was this huge machine that I had to put on edge, four panes of glass and these tracks with a pulley pushing it. So as it was going over the wheels, there'd be an awful scream and that set up by these four panes of glass. And when it hit the second wheel, you know, a composite stone wheel with water dripping onto it, and then it set up an awful racket, but it was music to my ears and I would sing in harmony to it. So that's where I got my musical talent, even singing on the back at weekends on the Captain Cook a riverboat down on the Yarra. I was doing that too, collecting a few shillings that way. People were, you know, were happy to see a little Aboriginal kid with an afro haircut singing.
His talent was recognised and the aura he exuded endeared him to the Boys in Blue despite his record of addiction and petty crimes. Cops would help him learn recognition in the performing industry.
I was mixing also in those days with other ex-Box Hill Boys Home boys who were wandering around Glen Ferry and Auburn playing bodgies and gangsters and all that kind of stuff. And I got in trouble with the police a couple of times, and it was the police, Glen Ferry police, who got me to get up and sing at the Ziegfeld's dance there above the market in Glen Ferry Road. Yeah. Get up there and sing, enter that competition, that singing competition, Jack. I'll bet you win. If you don't, we'll lock you up. So I got up and sang, and I won the competition. The next week, I got up and sang again in the 60-40 dance, and I won again. And if I'd have entered in the third week, I would have had a night on in Melbourne Tonight with Graham Kennedy. But I was busted for a crime instead by the Camberwell police, so I wasn't able to make it. I have 22 mugshots in the Victorian prison system's vaults, which I'm proud of. They're my missing equivalent value of my missing childhood photographs that you never have. Everybody's got childhood photographs, ordinary families. But many of us of the Stolen, we don't have that. I'm very envious when I go to some black fella's place or a white fella's place or an African Australian's place and I see loads of framed photos of kids in their school uniforms and that, you know, and so I get peeved off with that. It has, you know, it is a kind of a traumatisation and that, you know, and it did make me in effectively becoming a loner.
He juggled a life in and out of the big house, his petty crimes driven by his addiction, and also a Robin Hood type of righting the wrongs done to him and his people.
My addiction to heroin caused me to really become numbed to the fact that I was breaking into people's castles. Well, mostly the doors were unlocked. Etc. You know, car windows I'd break if I saw money in there. And I, you know, I got a lot of money out of that, you know. And having discovered my sisters and that, and my brother, I used to virtually rob for them because, you know, many of the these wealthy places had a fridge in the garage. I'd go to the garage first and check out the cars. Sometimes I didn't have to go into the house because money was in the car and the fridge held some silver side steak, which I'd put in my dilly bag, my backpack, and end up taking back to my sister's place. I was actually collecting from Aron Boonwurrung country on my mum's land. I hadn't realised that. And, of course, if I'd have taken that to court, the judge there would have given me another 5 years to snap out of it, wake up to myself. I'm only collecting rent, Your Honour. Yeah, well, you can collect another 5 years for that comment, Mr. Charles, he would have said. But no, I cleaned the books up for many a PlayStation. It's unfinished business. Little knowledge of my indigeneity, I realised that this is unfinished business. The Jacks only want to clear up the books. And they always said, Jack, don't admit to any crime at this particular week, etc. Don't admit to any that you hadn't done. But we know you're one for cleaning our books up for us, Jack. In the old days, I used to con them into getting the police doctor in to give me a shop of pethidine. Then I'd open up, admitting to more crimes than I had and more housebreakings than I had actually committed.
Uncle Jack Charles would go on to gain notoriety as a heavyweight on the Indigenous and Australian performing arts scene. Bastardy, a documentary about his life, was a national and international blockbuster.
On that very first premiere night at the Melbourne International Film Festival in Russell Street, the theatre there in Russell Street, it's no longer there now, but we had to have two premiere nights for Bastardy because people were wrapped around the building on that first premiere night. Former comrades from jail, from Box Hill Boys Home, people I'd robbed in Toorak, South Yarra, Malvern, Kew, Camberwell, everyone. You know, Brighton, all these people that I'd robbed were coming to see the documentary about my life. And then retired CIU inspectors were also there too on that first premiere night. Many of them coming there in honour, I believe, at the many times that I had led them on a merry chase over many years. They used to have Operation Get Jack Charles evenings and nights where they would sit in their private cars in Kew or Toorak, Brighton, waiting for me to come down the street. and that, but it never happened and that.
Following the success of the documentary about his life, Uncle Jack Charles would ramp up his advocacy and activism, championing causes not only for his people, but also for the downtrodden.
My advocacy for Indigenous affairs, etc., and to work on behalf of my fellows and that, you know, to make better, to get people to start thinking about Indigenous history and etc., but also to educate those that are trapped behind our prison walls and our youth detention centres. And so Bastardy, the documentary, was the one that led to me to believe in 2008 that I could become a public spokesperson in my own right. I have to admit, I am still a thief. You know, I still am stealing things. I'm stealing the hearts and minds of people nowadays. And that's a glorious thing for an old thief, retired, tired, person such as myself, to be doing, using this enormous profile that I've gotten. The message I want to leave for people is people like myself, Kutcher Edwards, Senator Adam Briggs, I like to call him the Senator, Briggsy, and those of us, Archie Roach, those of us that have got extraordinary, Donovan, all these people that have got extraordinary high profiles, we acknowledge that we have high profiles, and we're grateful because you, the people out there, have given us, have listened to us, and you've placed us on a pedestal. So we use our high profiles for the benefit of others.
And that's it for this episode of Our Story Podcast. Thank you to our guest, actor, musician and Aboriginal elder, Uncle Jack Charles. And if you want to listen to more of our podcasts, the NITV podcast, Take It Black or Balling Out, just go to where you get your podcasts from.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.